This is a production of Cornell University.
UA meeting March 14th, 2007.
And at the request of the dean of the faculty, because Ellis has been on leave this semester, I was asked to step in for the semester at least to finish out his term on the university assembly, which means that I've dropped my association with the... I'm liaison now instead of a voting member of the Codes and Judicial Committee. But actually, Jim, you're presiding, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so our chair is coming. There are more chairs in the other room. This was the best we could do in terms of a room. I know it's very small, but it was the one that was available of all of the rooms that were, all the buildings that were possible. Is it open? Oh.
Sorry. There are three chairs right down there. There's one next to Ari, and there's two over here. So we could use this.
What's that? Yeah, I know, but I don't think it doesn't represent a person. There's a chair over there.
Which room is it?
It's the far left, 126. Just the dip. It dips in and out.
126 is my office.
Oh, 124. 124.
How are you? And it's a bit empty. Oh,
does it have chairs? That's all it is.
So, it's up to you.
We have enough quorum?
Yeah, we have.
Okay, great. Let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. We have... We have the minutes, correct?
Yeah, but we're not... I'd like to make a move to table the minutes because they're too long to go through 18 pages.
There's okay. Also a lot of changes that need to be made.
And a lot of changes.
Yeah.
Okay, can I get a motion to table the minutes?
I so move.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, we will bring... I'm sorry. A motion to table that to the next meeting? Is that what you meant?
Yeah, until the 28th. May I suggest to everybody, I've gone through mine just using the audio, if you need to remind yourself of what you said, if it doesn't make sense on here. It could make no sense on the audio, too, like I realized when I was looking at my own comments. But you can check it against the audio and make some amendations. You'll find some things are rather important, like I was saying to David, a sentence that is transcribed as the president could give powers to the university assembly is actually the president could abolish the university assembly. So check the verbs and check the nouns to make sure that they're more or less in agreement with what you read. But I suggest, for example, Henry, is Henry here? Okay, well, he says a lot in here, and there's some things he might want to check his, or, and Randy, check what you have to say.
Okay. I skipped over the item number 3. Are there any late additions to the agenda? We have enough to do today, but is there anything really, really pressing? Seeing none, we'll move right on into new business. So I'll turn it over to Marty for the CJC presentation.
Well, actually, I can, but Kathleen, you could, too. I said to everyone at the executive committee meeting that it would be very short because the report's been available to everybody on the UA to read. And really what we want to do is maybe I'll do this as the faculty liaison to the UA. I proposed a resolution, which you all should have copies of. It came with your packet. Now that you've read the report, has everybody read the report, or should we leave time for the UA members to read the report? 5 pages. How many UA members need to read the report now?
Has anybody read it? Does anybody need time?
Does anybody need time to read the report?
That's great.
All right.
Okay, terrific. Well, then the resolution is something that I suggested as the liaison to the UA, and now on the UA, or the liaison to CJC, and now on the UA. I suggested that we consider this resolution as the basis for action this and for amendment, if you so need it, at this meeting. And I know we have a March 28th meeting, but we have a quorum now, and we have a good, strong representation. And I think if we were to start on this as what we might want to say, we'll be able to maybe get as far as passing it and getting on to the other pressing business of the UA at the 28th meeting. So that's in a sense, the report of the CJC to you and their hopes for you as soon as you can for your action as soon as you can. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
Well, just that we have representation of the CJC actually here as well, so that if there's any questions about the report before you pass the resolution, that would be the time to ask them.
So does anyone have any questions about the report?
I actually do have a question. When we had talked, you said that the CJC had wanted to put together a workshop of a couple of days or something like that. Where would this be? It's not included in the report, nor is it in the resolution.
It should be in the report,
isn't it? It's in the report, but it's not in the resolution. In the report, it's...
in the resolution, and it probably comes under the chart, the part of the report is based on a more comprehensive review. I think it's a more comprehensive review. Is there a copy of the report there?
Yeah. The report, there are copies of the report for those who didn't bring them. The page 4 of the report, it says the CJC is asking UA to extend and expand its charge to the CJC so that we can consider these and several other specific issues brought up during the period of community comment. We wish to review and deliberate on the specifics of these issues as they are structured in both the code and the Krauss report. We acknowledge the size of the task, but believe that it is the CJC's and the UA's right and responsibility to exercise. It'll be necessary for the CJC or a subcommittee of the same to have a dedicated period of time to review both the present code and proposed changes taken into account. Now, in the memo that I sent to the executive committee beforehand, what I had said was a 3-day period. Kathleen and I and we haven't talked this to the CJC completely, but we wonder whether 3-day period. We have a lot of specifics to work out and how to handle considering the whole report, and so considering the whole code, and so rather than specify a specific period of time, it made sense to keep it more general. If you want more specifics, we can hammer them out here in the it would make sense for the CJC, once it gets the charge from the UA, to sit down and say, now how can we do this as a committee, you know, and set up because we have to first of all coordinate schedules. Kathleen's suggestion right off was the possibility of three days in.
I wanted to propose that, depending, as you say, on schedules, that as the semester ends and before people disappear for the summer, that we take 2 or 3 days. Maybe as a subcommittee or the full committee, depending on what the committee feels, to sit down and try and craft something that, based on the community reaction, based on the present code, based on the Krauss report, it might be a thoroughly revised code. But I think if you have a concentrated period of time to thoroughly look at everything,
We might not be able to come up with something in another 3 days, but we should have a darn good idea what road we want to go down. And maybe, if, you know, we could theoretically come up with something, too. It's hard to do it, you know.
Right.
Everybody's got, you know, work, classes, or whatever. So it's hard to meet once a month and try and do the enormous task that I think we're looking at, which is basically looking at everything.
Why not delegate to a two-person draft committee?
That's why it says subcommittee, because that may be the more workable solution. I know that the committee, and I do want to commend to this body the committee's work. They met weekly for over a month, just to come up with this report. And that has been everybody's really busy time, and the committee that worked on this just is commended for the work on it.
We'll send our thanks to everyone. Thank you very much.
Are there any other questions, Sean?
Other question, page 2, it says that TAA requires a reporting structure for functional supervision. That does it not affect people's independent judgment. I went to the TAA office and asked them where they report their work to, and they told me that they report directly to the president. So does that mean that we think this is not suitable? We should refer to the JS work should be referred to a vice president or somewhere else? Mm-hmm. Does that mean this? I'm not quite sure.
Hang on a minute. I don't think she refers to the president.
I don't get it. Sorry, I don't know if somebody in my office gave me this information.
Oh, I'm
Mary Beth.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. No, I don't report to the president. My budget comes from the president's office, but I don't report to the president.
So for example, if I say in your letter that the chipsets is increasing, so in that case you could need more employees or something like that. So we met any difficulties to in that? Why is it because your budget is set, or what was the specific question that you the problems?
So we're facing a staffing crunch, and it would be up to the president's office if that falls under budgeting the president's office to make those kinds of decisions about increasing the staff. But I don't report to the president in respect of annual reviews or those kinds of other things. You know, if somebody has a complaint against me or somebody else in our office, it doesn't go to the president because, you know, they can have a budget or something like that.
There's no clear administrative structural line for Mary Beth personally as the JA. The other side of this is the administrative support, if they want staffing, if they want funding, to have that clarified, possibly through a DB or something. I think the recommendation was that there be clarity on how the structure is set up in administrative function here at the university without impacting on the independence of the office.
Could you please state your name before you speak so that you can hear that? Keep track of that. Thank you.
Good morning.
Any other questions for the CJC?
I think that the report does not respond to one important issue that in the cross report that says whether we need to change the civil procedure. For example, cross suggests that if there's minor misconduct, then we should have a simplified procedure, something like that. That's shown in the CGC report. What's our answer to that question?
When you say civil procedures, are you referring to the questions that Press Quote raised about lowering the burden of proof to a civil preponderance standard?
No. It's for example, it said that if this is something that does not result in a dismiss or something like that, then you cannot appear to a university review board or something like that.
I thought we did cover that. I thought we talked about having a uniform, you know, procedure process for, you know, all the different constituencies and keeping things more or less as they are.
On page 3 of 5, we talk about the parameters of the code. Mm-hmm. And we say that, first of all, our code should apply equally to all members, and that the current, in the second paragraph there, the current judicial system, we talk about that there. The specifics, like burden of proof and all that, are things that we want to address in our next stage.
Mm-hmm. So next year?
Well, that's part of our recommendation is that, and I don't want to wait till next year, I want to do it sooner. So I want to sort of on a roll here. But yeah, the details we need to work out.
Because I saw your annual report for the last year, mm-hmm. and I found there are only 12 cases referred to the board, and only one of them to the university review board. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking even if we take trust the suggestion, then at least for the last year there's no effect of the efficiency of the procedure.
No effect of the what? Pardon me.
What?
You said no effect of something.
Of the efficiency to deal with the cases, because there are only one case, and this cost really, in fact, has something to do with the decision of business and something like that.
Yes.
So according, if we take the cross procedure, then it's exactly the same in the last year. So I'm wondering whether it is necessary to do that. And
necessary to do what?
To take cross suggestion to change that.
Yeah, we haven't suggested that we should.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think it's not because I think the people who are innocent will have more incentive to appear to the university review board or something like that. So
under the crash report suggestion. They have more incentive to go to the review boards.
Yeah. So I think the title of this slide seems not quite correct. That's my personal opinion.
Leon, I think you had a question.
Leon Barnes. I just wanted to ask regarding the partial solutions to the lack of resources and supervision. Should there be any time line associated with these potential solutions? So, like, they don't go on for the next 5 years. So, if this is something where there's a lack of, well, how long are we going to be dealing with a lack of resources and supervision
right.
and whatnot? So, should a timeline, are we talking about the end of academic year, I don't know, 2007, 2008, or 2010, or what? I just think that with a lot of these, well, strike that. I just think that... And many reports, there's no action taken for a long time. So I'm just wondering if it's that crucial, shouldn't there be a timeline recommended as well?
Right. Marty, wasn't there a report to the University Assembly that talked about the timeline?
If I'm not mistaken, that's also going to be what we do. Once we pass this, we'll be establishing a timeline, giving the CJC more direct roles of what to do next.
Okay, thank you.
And that's what we'll be doing.
Thank you.
But Marty... Was there a report to the UA on Monday that talked about the timeline?
No, not the UA. What are you talking about? UA. Oh, you're talking about
yeah.
to the executive committee.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about, we sent to the executive committee that memo.
Right.
Which said, the CJC requests the UA authorize the CJC to set aside 3 days for a subcommittee of the CJC along with whichever members of the university administration the CJC deems appropriate to review the entire present code, taking into consideration the voluminous community input already received, as well as Kraut's report recommendations. The CJC asks the University Assembly to request from the university administration support for this working retreat. And then the result of this retreat will be recommendations that the CJC will present to the UA and the community for discussion in the fall of 2007. A second working retreat in January of 2008 period of the UA and a period of UA and administration comment in the spring of 2008 may be required before substantial revisions to the code are put in effect. This was put in front of the executive committee as a possible timeline. it wasn't put into the resolution because, as Jules just said, the thought was that once we resolve that the report was acceptable, if you accept it and pass it on in these terms to the president, then the UA and the CJC can sit down and come up with a more refined timetable. The CJC itself has to meet to discuss, if you approve it, how to get itself into the more intensive review mode.
Any more questions?
Yeah, maybe just a comment on parameters of the code. And
what's your name? State your name.
Code applies equally to all members of the Cornell community. There is in-house Cornell experience on the decentralized system, and that's the work-related thing, where we have any number of ways unknown to anyone how this is operating. So I'm wondering if it's relevant to see for the system to operate, if you could just have someone could have a look at how the work-related penalty phase and investigation phase works, actually, because that's what's going to be in place if the Krauss report goes forward.
Well, do we want to assume that we have to react to the Krauss report going forward before the decision is made that what our recommendations are will not be taken? In other words,
right. I probably.
I'm saying it's an issue.
Whether there's a Krauss report or not.
Right. I think as an issue, the AUA can ask, just like Henry was suggesting, the UA wants to think about where academic integrity issues fit in the question of the code and in a more general code. As an issue, it may be the UA wants to explore the inclusion of work-related, the questions of what is involved with including work-related violations by faculty and staff in the purview of the current campus code. The UA may want to consider that.
I agree. In terms of procedures and in terms of outcomes in particular, which seem to me to be very murky at this stage.
Mm-hmm. Well, the data might also be murky to analyze that. I mean, if a certain section of the university isn't keeping a record of people they discipline and actions that they take, then it would be very difficult to study what they've been doing, and that's not going to be uniform across campus.
I wonder if we're...
Could you... Nobody's saying their name, so they don't know, you know. Wasn't that asked that everybody would say their name?
Especially if you guys are part of the CJ.
So I'm Jeff Purcell, and I don't think anything in the code detracts from supervisors' abilities to discipline employees. And
I don't know. I don't know about that.
I think
it just all depends on what the discipline is. It's about paper.
I think it might just depend on the incident and whether or not the supervisor thinks this is something for the JA or this is something that can be handled with a written
warning.
That's
the step that I think is in question.
Okay.
Having to do with maybe retribution and things like that. There are some things floating around here that are just not terribly clear, and they're on the work side as well as on the student side.
Marty, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that was what the CJC wanted for the next step.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just explicitly put that on the table as something for the next step because this is not covered at present.
David Rosen, question. The resolution says that the assembly has received and reviewed the report. It doesn't say that we approve it. And what I wanted to know is whether the present discussion is aim towards that resolution. That is to say that we have looked at this and we approve it.
Right.
Or whether we are talking now about the resolution itself.
Technically, we're supposed to listen to the report, accept the report, then move on to the resolution.
Okay.
So after we do all this, we have to accept the report from the CJC, then discuss the resolution. There could be parts of the resolution we want to change. So this is just about the report in and of itself.
Okay. Thank you.
So is there a motion to, I'm speaking now in the, as a UA member, is there a motion to approve the report and accept the report as it stands?
Well, first of all, hold on. Is there any other questions about the report or questions for the CJC?
Yeah, Cindy Branison. Yeah. Laurie, I was wondering, I asked you at the last UA meeting about Bob Krause's materials.
Mm-hmm.
Did you report back on that?
Yes. In fact, wasn't there a note sent to you about that?
No.
Okay. Well, Ari, what was it that, in fact, what happened was that Barb Krause's materials are the report, and that any interviews and so forth are they're not, unless there's an archive somewhere that she put them in, which we sincerely doubt.
So there was no other papers, there was nothing else in writing,
no,
except for Barb Krause's report.
Right. But in response to your email to me asking if there were comments that were not included, we did get, thank you very much, we did get a comment that was sent to you, Mary Beth, included on the website, and we got another comment that was sent from, I think it was Residential Life, placed on the website. So there are those comments. I would say that 90% of, 98% of what we received, no, that's probably not, more than 90% is on the website. There were confidential ones that were not placed on the website.
This is Kathleen Ward. There's also verbal comments that we did not transcribe onto the website.
And another question, Bob Krause's report, one of the things that I find intriguing is that it talks about who Bob Krause talked to. Many of those people were sort of, I mean, CJC, other sort of stakeholders around the university, but many of those stakeholders didn't seem to submit public comment to the CJC this time around. And I was just curious to whether or not, you know, they were those some of the confidential reports, or did they just not report to the CJC?
This is Barty Hatch. Do you have any particular individuals in mind? Because we had, as I said, as we say in our report, we had the Office of Policy Administration, we had Dean of Students Office, three representatives from the Dean of Students Office. We had comments from Residential Life.
Right.
There were two people interviewed, one person interviewed on the CJC, I believe it was Kathleen, and she was there in our deliberations. If you have particular individuals in mind, Susan Murphy was at all of our meetings but one. Dean Walcott was at all of our meetings but two.
Okay.
If you have particular individuals that you wished us to solicit comments from, we could have gotten that a little earlier, but I think we're pretty comprehensive.
Were there any other sort of victim? I saw that the Women's Resource Center had submitted something online.
Yeah.
Were there any other victim advocate group on campus that had submitted anything?
I wrote the Women's at Resource Center. They're really happy to cooperate with us in the eventual deliberations about issues that they're particularly interested in, like representation of lawyers at rape or sexual abuse. What is it,
sexual assault.
They're happy to have participate in take. You know, testify in any kind of discussion of that. We don't know in the comments that we received who are victims and who are not, because they don't identify themselves as victims.
Right. I mean,
do you have any
I was also curious about, I know that the police department was interviewed.
The police department has a representative on the CJC, okay. Kathy Zoner, who is the associate director of the whole police department.
And did the ISM counsel's office did not submit anything?
Counsel's office, we looked at the memo that she sent, that was sent to Barbara Krause in response to her presentation having to do with the Henderson Act. The counsel's office, when we asked them for any particular comments on aspects of the code, they said that they would only consider questions that were framed as legal briefs.
Bob, I think you had a question.
Yeah, just an individual. Was the ombudsman have anything to say?
The ombudsman spoke at the faculty senate meeting a month and a half ago, and I'm not certain I knew somebody was going to ask this question. I can't remember the comments that you had. We did not interview the ombudsman. And I think that's something we need to do because we did propose the ombudsman office as a possible linkage with the... I agree. That's an over, not an oversight. It's just something we never got around to doing.
Any more questions?
Yeah, just last question. My name is Kate Duke. In your report, you talked about having kind of a retreat or something to look at the code a little bit further. Do you think you're going to still solicit more community response on other questions that you haven't solicited a response on, or do you feel like people still responded on things like the burden of proof and things that weren't asked specifically in the three questions that you were looking at for this report?
Oh, well, there's a lot of comment on more. Most of the comment on the website and from some very well experienced and educated people in the area is on not the issues that we reported upon, although there's a nice chunk of comment that is on them. And we expect this to be an important part of any subsequent deliberations on those specific issues. I don't... We also have proposed in that, you know, timetable that we gave to the executive committee that we have a period after having worked through some of the nitty-gritty questions, a period of public comment on any suggestions that we come up with. But I mean, that's part of the process. But I think that would be in the fall. I think we were saying of 2007.
Can we have a question? I'm sorry.
I wanted to follow up
on
that, if I may. Kathleen Rourke with the CJC. I think it is helpful at this point for the CJC or subcommittee or whatever that might work on this to digest the volume of stuff that we have and come up with, and the cross report and the code and everything, and come up with something that people can actually, I think it's helpful to actually look at something now at this point that sort of holds everything together. And in the fall, if we can get it done, in the fall at some point, allow the community to respond as the next step. But it's just helpful, they have to have something, I think, at this point.
But I'm graduating. But I think there should be more community participation with, like, every turn of this wheel, especially as if and when more, you know, contentious issues are raised. You know, this is supposed to be a community authored document. The CJC is broadly representative, but it isn't itself the community. And the community is going to change. It changes every year. New freshmen will have new ideas. New graduate students, new ideas.
Henry, do you have a question?
Yeah, with the resolution, but also the report. I mean, the report does talk about this retreat, but then the resolution talks about soliciting resources from the administration to make this go forward, and I guess I'm just curious on what those resources would be.
Right.
And because the report doesn't talk about, at least what I read, it didn't talk about university resources, it just talked about...
Well, if you would, let's maybe hold off on that until we get to the resolution part. Yeah, let's stay on that. Any more questions about the report itself? Seeing none, moving to debate. Any debate on the report from the CJC? Seeing no debate.
Is this the time when I could do my... No?
Later.
Okay.
We have a mystery comment coming. Okay, seeing none, can we get a motion, or can I get a motion to accept the report from the CJC?
Motion.
Jules, can I get a second from Bob? All in favor of accepting the report from the CJC, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Abstain.
I'm sorry. Abstain. Any abstention?
Yeah.
Okay. No, one abstention. Thank you very much, CJC. Moving on to... Moving on to resolution number 5 concerning the campus code review. Turn this over to Marty. I would like to present this.
Right. I agree with David and Henry and everybody else who wants to talk about this resolution and add things to it that make it stronger or pull things out that it thinks is inappropriate. So it's just meant to be getting things going. I think, yes, maybe there needs to be a an acknowledgement of the acceptance of the report and the support of the report, maybe, I don't know. And so I'm throwing it open to other members of the UA to make those recommendations. And as the person who proposed it, I'm happy to accept anything, most everything, as a friendly amendment.
Okay, David Rosen, second. Whereas the Assembly has received and reviewed and accepted the report of its Codes and Judicial Committee. So add comma after received, comma after reviewed, and accepted.
Is that okay, Marty?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Did you want to cruise in the first written of them?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Kevin Cramont. Do you also want to hereby approves and forwards this report in the first resolve? Is that on the table for us?
Hereby approves and forwards, yes. But would you like to propose that as a friendly amendment too?
I don't know if I have the power.
Oh, that's right. It's yours, so if you want to accept it.
He's a CJC. Somebody from the UA has to say.
Okay. Approves and forwards.
Okay.
Any questions concerning the resolution?
Randy Wayne. I think you guys did such a CJC particularly did such a good job of bringing in the whole university community to the forums and the websites and all that. I just wonder if there's a place to stick that in here, saying that this that so many people have contributed to this report. Prove the floor. it's such a small time. People got together, the whole university, or whoever wanted to participate by the website and the forums. And I think that was remarkable. So it wasn't on a resolution. It was remarkable.
If I could make a recommendation, perhaps on the cover letter that we submit this to the president, we can put something like that in. Because I guess I don't really know what that would add to the resolution. But if you want to accept it or something like that in there,
I agree with you. The cover. I don't know who's drafting the cover letter. I shouldn't be me, but some folks ought to get together and decide and put those things in. I know that in the cover addendum that was created for the document on page 5, it notes that the president was helpful in getting the forums by publicizing them and inviting people to them. I think that's important for us to realize that the president supported the fora and was interested in, actually it's on the first, is it on the first page? Yeah, it's on the first page. That's important for us to engage, and that we had lots of community comment, in the Sun and so forth. Those things are mentioned, and then we also say we're grateful for the many members of the community who are participating in the process, the Office of the University Assemblies, for their support and assistance. And I think in the cover letter you can do that too. And I think it's a great thing to do, because what it does is it says this is a community document. It's a community process. We're a community organization. We at the UA are meant to serve the community and respond to the community.
I guess what I envision is a cover letter, and correct me if the rest of the executive committee, it's just a lot of flowery language to President Scorton saying, here's the results, here's what happened, we are passing this on to you as you have delegated the UA's responsible, all that kind of good stuff.
Well, I also think that I think that Randy is right, that it should have something in there which affirms the UA's interest in being a body to do this kind of stuff.
Okay.
In other words, that you pick up the torch, if you're carrying it anyway. But I mean that you recognize you have this as a community representative body, okay. And so you're really happy to have been a part of the process to Like at the end of our report, we say community involvement and discussion are valuable parts of Cornell's culture, inspiring and invigorating to see and hear the community's views and concern about the code and judicial system. Thank you for allowing the CJC to review the Krauss report. I think you can say equivalent things from the UA perspective, that we're really proud that we have this at Cornell as a UA, that, and we want to take this and other responsibilities that we have, you know, seriously and continue to function as a strong body. I'm doing this because, you know, we had that op-ed editorial in the Sun today saying, you know, remember the Senate, which no longer exists. We want the same thing to happen to student assemblies. Question is, do you want the same thing to happen to UA? And you're saying no. You want it to go forward and do something good, you know, continue to do good things in the community. So that's what I say. I don't know who's willing to write that kind of letter, but I think...
Well, I think that letter will probably come from the executive committee.
Oh.
I'll be sent to the next meeting.
Yeah, on behalf, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And another addendum to that, Randy, would be that the discussion was truly an educational experience. I mean, if the code is supposed to be educational, the discussion, how it took place, I really learned a lot, particularly from the lawyers. It was really educational and enlightening, and these things should happen more often.
Can I suggest in regard to this as a member of the executive committee, mm-hmm. can I ask all members of the UA to, who are so inclined, but that hopefully everybody, to submit a sentence or two that they think might be useful in a cover letter. In other words, what they think has been accomplished by this, what the UA thinks it's doing in it. Just one sentence or two, that's all.
If you guys want, you can all email them to me.
Yeah.
And I will email out when the next executive committee meeting is. So if you want to come and help draft the letter,
sure.
The day we're planning on doing it, anyone who wants to come and help do it is open.
Yeah. But can we do that now that everybody knows about it within a week? Within a week, so, I mean, you know, maybe in the middle of your spring break, sit down and type a sentence or two about what you think is important about what happened. And then we can... Right. Thanks.
Getting back to the resolution, are there any more questions on the resolution? Henry.
Yes, I have a question about the resolution, the dollar clause, that the president provides sufficient materials and resources. What were you thinking about that?
Cars.
Cars.
Yeah, chauffeur, limousines. No. What we said in our...
Right.
I know our more specific note to the UA Executive Committee was the CJC asked the University Assemblies to request from the University Administration support for this working retreat sufficient to supply materials and resources, including but not limited to rooms, administrative and technical support, food, and job leave time. Beep, you said?
Beach.
Oh, beach. We have beach. We have Peggy Beach. No.
We were going for a lower beach.
Right. Anyway, what do you think would be appropriate as a UA member?
I'm just curious to what you meant by that in terms of support.
Right.
Because what sort of resources you're talking about, whether.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really come up with a budget yet, but I think I was told by different members of the administration at different points in these deliberations mm-hmm. that they were ready to supply any, you know, resources within reason that we had in mind to make the process of review go forward well. So that was just for our CJC, you know, until March 7th, and that was told to me by several senior administrators. People who have the money to back it up.
And I will say, this is Kathleen Rourke from CJC, that Peggy Beach and RA really were instrumental in the administrative side of things in assisting the CJC in accomplishing the report.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Any more questions on the resolution?
I was wondering...
What is your name again?
Dan Brown. I was wondering if it would be stronger or more useful where it says this means the president acknowledged and confirmed the report as the basis for work on this review. If we said as the basis
and that way subtly hopefully exclude the possibility that other reports might be used as part of the basis. Not the name. Just to substitute B for A.
I accept that as friendly. Is everybody happy with it?
Any other questions? Seeing no more questions, moving on to debate. Debate on the resolution. Any points of debate? For or against? Seeing no points of debate, moving on to a vote. Can I get a motion on the resolution? Motion to
the resolution.
To accept? Okay.
As
amended. As amended. Yeah. It's the amended version now.
Second.
So the second from David. Let's do a hand vote so we can include this into the letter with the president, whatever the vote actually is. So all in favor of the resolution, signify by raising your hand.
Fourteen.
Is that right? Okay. All against? Zero. Any abstentions? One abstention. Motion passes. Congratulations. Thank you very, very much. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
Could I ask a copy of the letter and the resolution and everything with respect to the Code of Judicial Committee when you send it to the president, please? And thank you for your time today, Mr. Paxton.
That is all we have on our agenda today.
Can I do 2 minutes of stand-up comedy?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure.
You did it. Awesome. So there's three quick things that weren't in the report because they weren't really in the scope of the report, but I think it's just very important to keep in the forefront of our minds as we go on. First, the crash report talks about making either prohibiting or making punishable the recording of Cornell Police in video or audio forms. Cornell Police are well trained. They are professionals. We should be able to take their pictures. This is something that we didn't discuss in the report, but the crash report does touch on. And a large number of students think it's a really bad idea. I agree with them. Second, Max Henderson did a great job of bringing out students and giving students voices, bringing those voices out who really felt the crash report was an attack on student rights. Specifically, right to remain silent, right to attorney, and the standard of proof. We didn't get very much into this because it wasn't in the scope, really, of our report, but students feel like the crash report is an attack on them. We can't forget that as we move forward. And the last thing, the OSC, the Office of Student Conduct, doesn't seem like a bad idea in itself to me. This one's just me. One thing that came up through all of this, but we never really found a way to put it together, was the OJA seems really good at investigating important things. Not copyright violations, not a freshman caught with a beer. Maybe the best solution isn't Barbara Krause's throw out the JA or the currently send everything to the JA, but send petty, small things to a different office. Stop clogging the JA's office with copyright violations, which are largely responsible for her huge, not huge backlog, but any possible backlog is a large part of it is just because Congress changed copyright laws. It takes up a lot of the JA's valuable time, which would be far better spent on serious infractions that really are important to our community. Copyright isn't that. Maybe an Office of Student Conduct would be great at stupid things like copyright infringement. And the JA would always have the right to, you know, take cases from the OSC. Barbara Krause, I don't think she really discussed that. She said everything should be split up between your status as student, faculty, and staff, which we don't think is a good idea. But should the JA, with her experience, resources, et cetera, be used when someone downloads Dirty Pop? Probably not. That's it.
Thank you. We know you have a few other members of the community, but anyone else like to say anything right now? about this?
Yeah, actually, I just wanted to say one thing that I think is really important in the next phase is that we look at like academic integrity with this as well, and consider possibly, I've always been a huge supporter of this, but having an honor code instead of a separate code of conduct and then what the academic integrity whatever it is, codes that we have. I think that honor codes are widely accepted. A lot of schools and universities have had, like, tremendously positive support for them. So, you know, in moving forward with this, I think that's something that we should really consider.
That's an honor code for academic integrity issues.
Well, I think that we could have an honor code that would combine both. That would be kind of a combination of the code of conduct and academic integrity. Because I think, you know, both are pretty much based on honor. You can incorporate both. And that way you only have one document, too. I mean, it wasn't until I was on this committee that I was even aware that we had two separate documents. It's just, like, not publicized, whereas we had an honor code, and that one code was what, you know, freshman students became acquainted with. Then I think it would be a much better process.
Can I just put in a word about the what Henry brought this up at the last meeting of the UA about what's going on with academic integrity, and we made Leon and pardon me?
Opal Clark
are both in meeting with, or have met with, or
will meet with the
right, and that was a UA action to make some movement in the direction of the academic integrity issue, make some coordinated effort. The faculty has a deep interest in retaining its purview over academic integrity issues, and I think before the UA starts thinking about how to make it responsible in academic integrity, that stage of deliberations ought to go forward with vigor.
Henry?
Well, a couple of things about that. One, beating the dead horse again, Mr. Granger said that one, President Lehman was the one that suggested this many years ago, and the UA took up this process, which is by alleged about support. So the history is rich with us having these issues but not doing much in connection with them. Secondly, we've seen Walcott, who came to the UA, asking for our assistance in academic integrity, and we mentioned that we didn't have some jurisdiction, so he said he was looking for a forum that had a broad base of reputation, and that's why he was looking at the UA, you know, despite obviously the fact he strong beliefs, it was again Dean Walcott who came to us. In addition, I think that, again, it'd be nice, my point is that we look at academic integrity and conduct at the same time. In fact, in President Rowling Starr's Department Kraus, that's one of his points, is that looking at academic integrity and the campus sort of conduct, you know, sort of at the same time, and looking at the different systems. And, you know, we really didn't address that comment, but certainly Bob Kraus really, you know, made some noise about it. But again, that seems like an issue ripe for discussion.
I think Henry would be a wonderful representative on that committee, along with Leon, to go talk with the Dean of Faculty.
Yes, in fact, I was a member of the committee after Lehman suggested this years ago.
Terrific. Well, it's good, good time now.
Well, no, what happened is then we had Bob Krause appointed, and so at that point we said, well, thank you, University, for giving us the resources of Bob Krause to look into this issue. And so that's what exactly happened. So, in fact, myself and two other members of the UA were, in fact, on an academic integrity subgroup to look into these variations and look at our honor code and everything else. Because when Bob Krause was appointed, then we decided that we were not going to duplicate hard work. And so, again, this issue has been kicking. In fact, the very issue that started all this, the stick-out policy at Gannett, as far as I know, hasn't been resolved. That we still haven't, when Dr. Dan Carson-Reifer came to us, looking at this issue, we still haven't given any assistance, and that was a number of years ago. And so I just, again, want to stress that, you know, it would be nice if we had some more action movement on these very issues, and that before, in fact, CJC moves forward to look at a comprehensive review, that we talk about looking at academic integrity and conduct at the same time.
Any other questions, any other points? Anything else anyone would like to bring up?
I just have some small suggestions of the some concerns that Kraus reported as important after her investigation. She wrote the five things, actually from the second thing that she said that there's it's difficult to read, and there are some terminologies here. I I read it and find some questions about that.
Some
legislative terminology that's difficult to understand. So I'm suggesting whether we can have appendix or something of that to the code of conduct and to explain these things to make it more readable and some clear definition of what kind of thing is minor misconduct and what kind of thing is yours, something like that. Mm-hmm. So this is a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw people's students comment on the website. They say that someone met a case that had delayed for half a year and did not receive the response and something like that. So I suggest whether there should be a responsibility of respond system that, for example, from zero things should get a response in certain times. There should be a time limit, because if someone who did some violent things, then seeing the campus may be some danger to the other students if you take it too long or some time. So there may be
issues of timing and both the timing of response and the timing of are certainly on the table as important ones. One of the issues that was brought up is the lack of response by a student, let's say, to a request for an appearance. That slows up the timing of procedures, and one of the things the CJC is going to want to have to consider is whether that, although that's not a indication of guilt, there should be a penalty for a lack of appearance to a charge. That might speed up the procedure. My point in bringing this up, the very specific question, is that this general question of timing, you know, has very specific kind of examples, and each one of those has to be thought through in detail before you come up with you can't have a blanket rule which says everything has to go faster.
Yeah, sure. So I know that
okay.
This is the first priority, right?
Right.
We should not punish somebody with
right.
sufficient evidence or something like that. Yeah, I understand that. I just
okay. No, I understand. We saw that as comments, and they're all on our minds.
Yeah,
thanks.
So I just mean we give some priority to
right.
And another thing is that she said that there should be more transparency. That's her concern.
Sean, how many do you have?
What?
How many do you have?
Oh, no, that's the last one.
Okay. So if you have a long list, anyone has a long list, I was
okay,
suggest emailing them to the CJC to address.
Okay.
If I
think the website's still active. Put them on the website.
Okay.
The website is a great funnel of all these comments. It's a great resource.
I put some of them there. Yeah.
Good.
I still think this is the most efficient use to have this discussion right now.
Yeah.
Just real quick, when I said Opal, did I say Opal Hammer was on the committee?
Someone said Opal Clark.
Okay.
Opal
yeah,
Hammer.
It's Opal Hammer.
Right.
I thought I said Clark. That's another person that I was working with today in financial aid for the student issue. So right, Clark is Ed Hammer. It's Opal Hammer.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyone else have any?
Anyone else
have any announcements or anything? Okay. That is it. Seeing none, we have no further business. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Can I get a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Nay. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. I thought it would be a lot longer.
What time's your
I'm
class? Yes.
I'm
Holy, that's a funny. This is a suck your will to live, doesn't it?
No.
Yeah. How about this? I did my DRE with an offer like, yeah.
You don't
need
them in the
basement.
No, weather
can be
here.
Have fun
on spring break, guys. I don't
think
we'll meet anywhere.
I'll be here
in
sweet, lovely Ithaca.
Oh, I will be.
Sorry, yeah. Where are you going, Jules? You're going to Florida, aren't you?
Yeah.
Connie, where are you going to spring break?
Home.
Okay. Home. New Jersey.
Okay.
What part of
Jersey? No, I don't. I know Uncle Hamper.
I
don't know.
Yeah, I hope it rains.
Well, I said it's my address anyway, so that'd be fun.
That's where you're going with your dad.
Yeah, it's not like I'm going to like a big group of my peers.
That's
fine. I'm going to tell Amy on a beach. You know?
I'm trying to decide.
I
have
to tell, but I don't know where we go.
I'm trying to decide. Will it be worth for it to be rented for $100 Florida? Should it be nice? Either way,
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.